Welcome to Lord Jonlander, the Outlander podcast for Lord Jon fans, where we talk about all things Outlander, but especially about Jaime and his Sassenach. And sometimes we'll talk about Claire, too. We may not be the Outlander podcast you wanted, but we will be the Outlander podcast you didn't know you needed. This is your one and only warning that this is not a spoiler-free zone. We can and we will spoil anything and everything about Outlander, from the books and the show, and definitely from Season 7. We'll probably make some stuff up while we're at it. If you make it through the episode in one piece, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us on Twitter and Tumblr at Lord Jonlander, or on our website at lordjonlander.wordpress.com, where you'll also find our archived episodes, teasers, fig recs, and more. Welcome back to Lord Jonlander. We are your hosts. I am Mistress Pandora. You can call me Pan, and my co-host is here as well.
Hey, it's Beth. I am so excited to be getting back into this and talking about a new season.
Yeah, season 7. So let's take one quick moment, and I'll probably do it again before we actually start talking about the meat of it. If you have stumbled upon this because you are like, I don't know, binging the last two seasons of Lord Jonlander, because we're quite bingeable if you have like 40 hours of your life to devote to it. We are not talking about season 3 of Outlander. We are talking about season 7 of Outlander, as in the season that just started a couple of days ago, 5 days ago by the time this hits the streets, right? So if you don't want season 7 spoiled for you, turn away. Don't come yelling at us that you got spoiled, because we told you it was in the intro. It's now. This is not a spoiler-free zone. And we probably won't tell you if we make something up that didn't happen. You'll just have to go watch the show.
Yeah. Yeah. we if you're new to Lord Jonlander, because you're just eager to hear our hot takes on season 7, I can't imagine who that is, but there's a niche out there somewhere. Anyway, yeah, so if you're new to Lord Jonlander, if you hear us say something that happened and you're like, I don't remember that happening.
Probably didn't.
It probably didn't, but we will talk about it as if it did. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, so...
Listener, beware.
And if you start thinking like, oh, maybe that did happen, congratulations. We just gaslit you into believing something that never happened.
Like all of the people who are like, I can't figure out where Pierre is.
Who's Daria?
Who's Daria? Where can I read more about her? No, we made them up completely, but yeah. They have their own fan bases now and they're not going anywhere.
I wonder if Brianna's going to run into Daria this season.
Hey, that could be fun. So, yeah, that's us. You can always see what we're up to or what we have been up to in the past on Twitter and Tumblr, where we're most active. And when I say most active, it's, you know, intermittently.
I have become a total Twitter dropout. So we're going to do our best, but I'm mostly on Tumblr now. And, I'm happier that way. So
same. Tumblr's the best place to get us.
We're going to do our best on Twitter because we know a lot of the Outlander fandom is on Twitter exclusively. Yeah. But just bear with us. If you message us on Twitter and we don't get back to you in like 5 to 10 business days, it's just it's just because I haven't opened the Twitter app in 5 to 10 business days. So,
or me. Yeah. So Tumblr and Twitter, we are at Lord Jonlander at both of those. We're also on WordPress at lordjonlander.wordpress.com. We do have a contact us page there. If you are not into the Tumblr or the Twitter at all, that's cool. You do you. We have that as well. If you have been following us about a week ago-ish, or so, I don't know, a couple of days before, or a day or two before the season premiere actually aired, we dropped a bingo game. And by bingo game, we mean that there's like a list of, I just recently counted, it was like 53 possible things that we were looking forward to for season 7. And by looking forward to and possible things, we mean stuff that we mostly remember kind of sort of potentially happened. That may or may not actually make it on to the show. We're cautiously optimistic. If anyone gets a blackout, we all win. First to five in a row gets to say they have five in a row. It's really cool. Like, we'll reblog and retweet and stuff.
Yeah, you can tell us and we'll, like, say it on the podcast.
Like, congratulations, you have the best imagination. The most creative interpretations. Yeah, so creative interpretations do apply. If you are playing bingo, please share it with us on your preferred social media. Unless it's TikTok or Instagram, because we're not there.
Yeah, we just totally dropped out.
We have accounts there.
We do, but no.
We've kind of given up slightly on those. Anyway, so that's all the ways that we are not interacting with our listeners.
We're like the hermits of podcasting.
We've been on hiatus so long. I'm like, do I remember how to plug in my microphone? Do I know what a podcast is? How do pods cast? What is this?
Wait, I gotta say that we're not hermits. We're like two old crones in the woods of podcasting.
I prefer Swamp Witch, personally.
Yeah, like, and like, so like, occasionally we can like have visitors, but like, you know, most of the time we just like sit around like boiling potions and shit.
All the things that Claire gets accused of doing in the series are actually.
It's actually us.
Just embrace it. Just embrace it, Claire. All right, so final spoiler warning. We're going to talk about season 7, episode 1, A Life Well Lost. If you haven't watched it and you don't want to hear spoilers, why are you still listening to me talk?
Turn your freaking Spotify or whatever Apple podcast off.
Even before this episode premiered, let me back up just a tiny, tiny bit to about 6 months ago, and I was like, there's a new season coming. It's like next to last. It could be good. It's some of my favorite books, but like really, like, I don't know, man. I was so disappointed with season 6, which I finally finished watching, by the way, about 3 weeks ago. But there has been so much press stuff and interviews and red carpet things that include David Barry. And like, this is definitely our season.
It is. Oh my God. And he is just like, not holding back, which I just love.
It's been awesome. He has like, he's not censoring himself at all with being like, he is Jamie John Shipper number one. Like, he's the captain of the ship right now. And I'm loving it. And he's like, he's writing like fan fiction and interviews and stuff. And it's awesome.
Yeah. The latest one that, where he was like, because there's time travel, why not have John time travel to like modern day New York and be an interior designer and go to the Pride Parade? Happy Pride, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, hi. Yeah. And he's just writing a whole ass AU, which he did at some point during season 6, I think, or maybe it might have been at the end or something like that.
It was an Instagram live, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was
something about a bear rug. I remember. Was that a fever dream or did that actually happen? Those words come out of his mouth.
Yes, because he was like something about like he'd have some wine and, you know. So I think he said then too that he would be an interior designer though. So I think that's secretly like David Barry. Like if he wasn't an actor, he'd be an interior designer or something.
Or that's just his headcanon.
That's true.
For John. Because like John tends to be in like an AU, the fandom tends to write John as like a cop or a detective or a bodyguard or some like a protecting kind of thing. Interior designer is just, it's a great one. I think we need to explore this.
Okay, so I don't know about that though, because I don't see John as being interested in that stuff. Like when his cousin Olivia was getting married, he was like, oh my God, I could not give two shits about these dresses and place settings and, you know, whatever. So I don't know if he really would. In my opinion, David Barry is free to have his own headcanon. But in my mind, I would see him, if he wasn't in those roles, I would see him more as like a teacher or even like a veterinarian or something like that, where he's like,
oh my God,
helping Hallmark other people, movie hero. You know, his parents own an apple orchard and the girl he fell in love with in high school comes back, or not the girl, the boy he fell in love with in high school comes back and from the big city and falls in love with him and they raise baby apples together.
Raise baby apples.
Anyway, I digress.
If you think about the specific time traveling context that David put that in, though, even if he doesn't have the interest in interior design kind of stuff, he would bring a really interesting perspective to 2023.
Oh,
that
yeah.
would work. He would actually be awful at it, but he'd make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, it's true. And he'd be like the guy who drinks beer for breakfast, and everyone would be like, that guy's a little odd, but it's like so cool that he drinks beer for breakfast. Like, I think he's just like eccentric, like cool eccentric.
Right. Like when your house is, or your apartment is full of just this really odd antique stuff and that's it. And you don't, he doesn't have a microwave. It's eccentric at that point, not fucking weird.
Except what a nightmare. It's like his house is like an homage to British colonialism. He brings somebody home like
this apartment did not age well, man.
He has not gotten the memo yet about that.
But the press has been awesome.
Yes.
Just getting to see so much David and Charles, too. I'm really excited to see Charles this season.
When they did the opening sequence, like, it only shows, like, the back of him. But I was like, there he is. There's my boy.
Every time Fogg was on the screen for this first episode, I was looking for him.
You lost? You lost, William?
Like, is he lost yet?
Oh, dear God.
So how about the episode? What's your overall impression? What did you think overall?
So overall, I thought it was really good. I thought they did a really good job of condensing a lot of text down to like a reasonable amount of TV time without really losing anything. They used a lot of dialogue straight from the book. They changed some stuff, but it was more additions than taking stuff away. I mean, obviously they took stuff away, but like, come on. That whole sequence where Claire is like with the governor and being a scrawl. I mean, all like, come on. We didn't need all that, right? Like, so I think they did a good job with that, is just kind of making it just the right amount. There were some funny moments. Yeah, I thought it was a good episode, a solid. I could have done with a little less Roger and Bree, but, you know, I can't have everything I want.
I felt overall like it was a little bit rushed. It was like 400 pages of text in a 60-minute episode. just saying. It wasn't necessarily bad. Like, I didn't think it was bad. I did not think it was a bad episode. I did enjoy it. There were some conversations and some scenes that I would have liked to see fleshed out just a little bit more, but, you know, they put 400 pages of plot into an episode, and that's just how that happens.
And we should pause for 1 second to just say that if you aren't aware of this, dear listeners, they didn't know if season 7 was going to, they thought it might be the last season. So they squeezed the end of A Breath of Snow and Ashes, the entirety of Echo and Moby into this 16-episode season. So we're getting a lot, but things are definitely going to be condensed.
Very condensed.
Anyways, go on.
A couple of characters I'm kind of thinking we're not going to get to see that I'm going to be really disappointed to not see. But yeah.
Well, especially when I found out it was Moby, and I'm like, okay, they haven't announced any of, like, they haven't announced that Hal's going to be back. They haven't announced any of the Greys. But then I thought, okay, I'm going to keep the hope alive. Maybe during the season break, maybe we'll get surprised with some other new cast members, right? They did the ones for the first part of the season before, but maybe we'll get surprised. I don't know. But it's hard to imagine Moby without the Greys. And I'm really concerned that we're not going to get Jane, which would just be really bad, I think, for Willie's storyline. I mean, she's what ends up bringing Jamie and William together ultimately. So anyway, I'm going to keep the hope alive. So yeah.
Cautiously optimistic, but we're going to keep playing bingo and see if anyone wins. Something was kind of weird about the Roger Brianna stuff, and I like Roger and Brianna. I actually do like them genuinely as characters. I like the actors. I don't understand the Roger hate. I really don't. I mean, it was good to keep checking in on them. I'm not sure where the hell Jimmy was running off to, because like he was not there. But it was interesting to see what they are up to and how they're managing the Wendigo storyline and that conflict. I was a little disappointed in that conflict, though. They kind of phoned that in.
Yeah. I actually don't fully remember how that played out in the book. So it was like, okay by me. I did enjoy Roger quoting Muhammad Ali as like an awkward prayer for the soldiers. That was a very funny moment.
I think I laughed so hard that I didn't catch the end of it. So like, did he tie that back in? Did it make sense when he was done talking?
Oh my God. I've watched it twice, so I should know this. He said, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, then something like prayers of God unto thee or something like that. It wasn't exactly that, but it was something along those lines.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. I heard float like a butterfly and I just lost it. Like, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
Boy.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked that. I didn't like, first of all, Roger, I feel like, was stretching so much to like empathize with him. Like, like he just kept like he, and not even just that, but like he was like, well, he's scared, Bree, and what if he's this and that and the other thing, and maybe his men are, you know, like coming up with all these scenarios in his head to like defend this guy, and for what? Like, why? Like, this guy, he's just a rando who, no, he didn't hurt Claire, but he didn't do anything to help her either. So like, why all the stretching to try to empathize or sympathize with him? I just didn't get it. What's the motivation?
Yeah. F you, stars, way to fumble this, because like, this was the opportunity to make the sexual violence that we're so freaking addicted to on this damn series to make it like have an impact on other characters, you know? Right. Like, Brianna was really upset about it. I mean, we can't say the word rape anymore, apparently. That can't come out. We can use any other word.
But on our podcast, we can say it.
We can say whatever the frick we want to. But yeah, that was a golden opportunity to have that completely unnecessary trauma carry some narrative weight. And it really didn't. It did not translate. Yeah. So that's my first FU stars of the season.
Well, and even like when, because Brianna said something like, you would have never just sat there while those men attacked me, while Stephen Bonnet attacked me in the cavern or something. But like, she said it, but it just kind of like, I don't feel like Roger really answered that. He just started talking about himself on the boat and like all this other shit, you know?
Which was the same but different. Like, there literally was nothing that he could have done on the boat.
Yeah, exactly. He was stuck on a boat. Like, Donner was not. It didn't go well. Could have been better, for sure.
Way better. Way better. But Jamie, name dropping Lord John, like a boss.
Can I just tell you that I used that on my bingo? Am I allowed to say what I used for my bingo things?
Yeah.
Okay. One of my squares was chaotic queer Jamie. And I'm like, yeah, him not name dropping Lord John on that boat was definitely chaotic queer Jamie.
And he said acquaintance, but it's just, it's easier. It rolls off the tongue better, I guess, than ex-boyfriend, because that's still a little raw, I think.
Yeah. I'm acquainted with Lord John Grey. Acquainted with him. You mean he's raising your bastard child and you're in love with each other. That's a pretty fast and loose use of the word acquainted.
Acquainted in the biblical sense. Have there ever been two characters that more embody the vibe of they've never been married, but they're totally divorced now?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's our John and our Jamie. For sure. That definitely counts as the chaos queer Jamie square.
Definitely. And then, okay, I think... So, Float Like a Butterfly, Sting Like a Bee was a funny moment, but I think the funniest moment was when Jamie and Claire have this, like, dramatic kiss, and then that soldier, or whatever you want to call it, was like, you're not permitted to do that here, with, like, a totally straight face.
Me too, man. Yeah, same. Cut it out.
It's just like... He just had such a, like, it was just like this totally melodramatic moment. And then he's just like, that's not permitted.
Agreed. I was way too straight.
Oh my God.
That was fun. For sure. Another funny moment was when Jamie finds Tom Christie smashed.
He's like, how many pills have you had, Tom?
You are the answer to my prayers. How much have you had to drink?
Oh, Tom. Oh,
but side note, is Jamie capable of saying nice things to a man without looking like he's going to make out with him?
I didn't get that vibe.
Did you not get that vibe? Because that's no. When I checked off my chaos queer Jamie square.
I love the way Jamie, because he's so petty, how he cannot resist throwing like a little jab in. He was like, Tom Christie was an honorable man and a leader of men in his own way. He just didn't have anywhere to lead them. Like, Jamie, can you do anything without being petty? Oh my God.
I think he was probably trying to diffuse the situation.
He was.
And like, he was. Laughter as a coping mechanism, I guess. I don't know. But no, I got vibes.
I mean, it...
No. Not even a little?
No. Not even like in the freaking slightest.
Okay. Tom Christie and Jamie, is that better or worse than Jamie and the Comte Saint-Germain?
Oh, the Comte's way better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a line. There's a limit.
Okay.
I'm just testing boundaries.
Because, like, well, first of all, like, they were a lot younger when they were with the Comte, too. And, you know, everybody's, like, parts were all, like, standing in the right place, and you know, they're very handsome and buff and stuff like that. Now, you know, Jamie's still looking buff, but like Tom's
been through it,
you know, he's had a rough life, and you know, kudos to him. But like, speaking of Jamie being older, though, I was like, what kind of Botox do they have in the 1770s? Because his skin looks amazing. Not a fucking wrinkle on it.
Well, that ponytail is so tight. What's in the wig?
Oh, God.
I was actually chatting with Ness about that the other day. Like, loosen the wig. Loosen up. Let your hair down. He looks so just, like, it's so slicked back, which, okay, fine. But, like, come on. It's God, I'd give him a headache.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of wigs, there was some pictures dropped of David Barry in his, you know, dress, his Lord John gear, and he is very obviously not wearing a wig this year, and it shows. No more Vampire John, thank God.
What a speak was not his style.
I enjoy a good Vampire John in a fic, right? But like, on the show, you know. Yeah, he's looking so good. Oh my God, he knows it's his season. That's what it is. He knows it.
And like all of, he's not holding, like David is not holding back in any of this press stuff, any of the interviews or anything. And like, honestly, John Bell's not either. He's also shipping it.
Oh my God, I love
there
John
was
Bell
another
so
episode
much.
Or another episode, another, a different interview the other day where David was like struggling to come up with the right words. Like, how would I categorize John and Jamie's relationship? And John Bell just goes, lovers. In the face, it just goes, lovers.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh, and then there was the one where David Barry was getting interviewed and they were asking him about his relationships with other people, and they asked about Claire, and he was like, Facebook status, it's complicated.
Very complicated.
I'll never forget that when we first heard Katrina talking about how there was like some like sex scene or something that she had to work really hard with the intimacy coordinator on because like it was very odd to her. And I'm like, yes, we're getting it. We're getting the Claire John sex. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
It's going to be one of the best days of my life.
It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a real good day.
Yeah, it is a good day. Unless you are a fucking Lord John hater, because this season's gonna suck for you.
There's so much. I'm so excited. He's already in the, he's in the promo for next week.
Yes, and William.
Or for Friday, the next episode. Yes, and William. I'm so, so excited.
Oh my God, my baby boy.
The still that I saw on some website was unplanned family reunion that Sean didn't study for and is expressly forbidden to allow to happen. The look of sheer terror on his face. I can't wait. It's going to be
somebody
so
on
juicy.
Twitter took a took a screenshot of that and just got it just on his face, like looking like he's going to stroke out, like
gonna lose his fucking mind.
Which I'm really glad of. Well, not that he's gonna stroke out, but like when Jamie told Brianna about William in season 5, I was worried that we would not get that meeting. So we're not gonna get the whole Brianna being like, is that Da? But I think that makes sense because like obviously you're never going to find an actor that looks, you know, that much like Sam Heughan that you would mistake them like that. So, but we do still get the hilarious hijinks of Lord John trying to, I can just hear like the like madcap music in the back, like as he tries to like cover his steps, you know. Oh man.
It's going to be excellent. I cannot wait.
If my calculations are correct, I believe some of us will definitely be getting a couple bingo squares.
I think so.
On Friday, too. Well, so
considering John's name is in most of them or something in the square alludes to John, probably. Well, because this is Lord John Lander.
That's true. But we have to talk about Jamie showing up in Richard Brown's room and sitting in that corner.
Yes, please.
And like, oh my God, like, where have you been, James Fraser? Because fuck, you know, we spent so much time in seasons 5 and 6 seeing him on the ridge. And a lot of it is just sort of this, like seeing him as this like benevolent.
The Laird.
The Laird.
No, War Chief came out.
Yeah.
We got to see War Chief.
Which was really, I mean, even right in the beginning of the episode, he was like, he had that determined look on his face. But when Richard Brown walked in that room and Jamie was just sitting in that corner. I was like, oh shit. And then the funniest part was Richard Brown being like actually being cocky enough to think that Jamie is not going to kill him. I'm like, if you go in your room and Jamie Fraser is sitting in a dark corner, he is either going to fuck you or kill you. Okay.
The fic writes itself.
You know, like, you, like, the fact that he, in, right until his dying moment, had the audacity to think, but see, that's all he's ever seen of Jamie mostly, is mm-hmm. that benevolent Laird thing. He's never been super privy to fucking badass Jamie. So, bye-bye, Richie.
A fun exploration of like the duality of his character once again, because it's been on our minds, because we just, you know, mm-hmm. the last time we talked about Outlander, we were, you know, on microphones, we were talking about Gollum and Dougal, and you can definitely see the dichotomy there in Jamie's character. He's got the Gollum and he's definitely got the Dougal, and the Dougal look on Jamie is really, really good. I like that look on Jamie.
I love it.
That is the thing I thought was missing of this episode. I was so mad when that freaking cut to black, because I wanted to see him kill him. I wanted to see the violence so bad.
It would have been nice for them to show us violence other than, you know, rape.
Wouldn't that be a trick? Man. The truest line in the series ever, books or show, was, "I'm also a violent man."
Yes. Right around that, when he said, "The only goodness I have left in me is from my wife, or is because of my wife," something like that. Like,
however he said it.
I think John plays a little bit of a part in that.
Of course he does. "I'm also a violent man. My husband and I both cackled so freaking hard, we had to rewind the episode because we missed the next, like, 13 seconds. Because we're like, yes, self-awareness. He knows me." Like, that was the most self-aware thing I've ever seen.
I think that's what I like so much about Jamie, though, is that he never tries to fool himself into thinking he is something he isn't. Like, you know, like Richard Brown is like, "Oh, you're a good man, Jamie. You wouldn't hurt me." Blah, 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 you know, and it's like,
the fuck I wouldn't.
Yeah, he never tries to, even though people perceive him like that, he never tries to deceive people that the benevolent Laird is all he is. Like,
oh God, no.
And he doesn't fool himself about it either. He knows who he is. He knows that he's done shit in his life, that, you know, he's hurt people, he's killed people. First of all, he's always like got a reason for it that's based on his, you know, Jamie moral code compass. And like, he doesn't shy away from it. Like, he knows that that was part of what he was born and raised to do.
He makes decisions and then he accepts the consequences of them.
Yes, sort of. I mean,
yeah, sort of.
He accepts them, except like, also like, if he's going to go to jail, he's definitely going to find a way to get like out of jail.
Accepts that it's going to happen. It doesn't mean he's going to like just sit down and take it, because like, why? That's inconvenient.
You know,
totally inconvenient.
In the books, they describe it, I think it's in season 5, when Brianna is kind of having her identity crisis. Maybe it's 5 or 6, book 5 or 6, I don't know. And she's talking to Claire about, like, you know, "You always knew what you wanted to do." And then she says something about, like, "What about Da?" And in the show, Claire says he's a man and that's like plenty to be, or something like that. But like, in the book at that point, or maybe it's another point, she says he's a bloody man or something like that. And that's similar to the violent man thing, right? Like, acknowledging that, like, this is what he is and this is what he does.
And let's face it, that's kind of what we like about him. Also what we hate, but what we like about him. Mm-hmm. But it's so fun to watch. Like, was that season 5 when he choked out that whoever he was with his big old beefy arm. That was fun. See, that's the kind of thing I was looking for at the end of this episode and didn't get it, and I feel robbed, and I would like to talk to somebody about it.
Write a strongly worded letter.
Yes. No. All right. You know what we can do? We can put it on the podcast.
There you go.
We'll do that instead. So, rare pair of the week. You're going to love it. It's not really a pair. We have a new OT3. A new OT3.
Oh,
Claire,
no.
Claire, Tom, and Jamie.
Ugh.
Now, hear me out, because...
Tell me.
Said Tom when he realized that's what he was getting into. That's the reason that he wrote the confession. It had nothing to do with saving Claire. It was, nope, they're a package deal and I can't. His confession of love and affection to Claire was actually really touching. And that was, other than I'm also a violent man, I think that was probably my favorite conversation in the whole episode. It was weirdly good and it was quite moving in an odd way. And I'm like, I believe him. I believe him.
I mean, a lot of that dialogue was pulled straight from the book. So you know, I think part of we all know that when they stick to the book, it's usually Outlander at its best.
Unless they deviate from the book to make it more gay, then it's better. Anyway, but yeah, so that's our rare ship of the week is Claire, Tom, and Jamie. It could work. It could work.
I'm glad that you have that for yourself. See, I've been working on the way that I react to things that I don't like. So I'm in my continued journey to be a better person. So I'm happy for you that you have that for yourself.
I didn't say I liked it necessarily. I mean, yes. You know what? Yes, I do. I do like it. Yes, I do like it because it is a trash barge, and that's just, I'm trash for a garbage ship. That's just me. I like the cursed things. See?
So, oh, go ahead.
Swamp witch. Swamp witch.
Yes. And I'm just the crone. So I have one other, because you had your little FU stars moment earlier. Mm-hmm. I just need to talk a little bit about the opening sequence with the hanging. I hated it. And it's not, I didn't hate it because like, oh, they scared me into thinking Claire was dead. Like I knew.
Like, obviously she's the main freaking character.
But like, I hated it because it felt so out of place. It felt so unnecessary. It felt so sensational. And I really kind of came to a realization that, in my opinion, they only made that to have that for the promos.
Probably.
Because a lot of, you know, especially I think in these later books, like a lot of some of these dramatic moments require context, right? But like, you don't need any context to see the drama in somebody getting hanged, right? And so they needed some like big eye-catching thing for the promos. And to me, that's where I'm like, no. Like, that to me, that's cheap, tacky. Don't come at me with that. Yeah. So they got it for the promos and then they stuck it in the beginning. And then it was like Jamie's, he wasn't even sleeping. Like, it wasn't even a dream sequence. It was just like a daydream.
He was daydreaming about his wife's brutal execution.
Like, I mean, he is getting older. Maybe he was taking, you know, maybe he was resting his eyes while he was standing up. I don't know. But
with his eyes wide open?
No, they were shut, I think, when the camera for, yeah. But like, I don't know. I hated it. It just didn't need to be there. It was a cheap move.
I hated it slightly less than you did. I really didn't hate it. I'm back. It's Lord John Lander is back. Pan's back. Here we go. So as we're watching this, my husband and I were, you know, laying on the couch and my husband goes, there is no freaking way this is actually happening. Somebody is dreaming. I said, yeah, me, but I'm not that lucky. So yeah, I'm going with Jamie was daydreaming about Claire getting out of the way for John.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna be canceled again.
I'm gonna cancel you this time.
Go for it. It's cool. You're right, though. Like, it really, that was a solid, like, 3 minutes they could have put to additional dialogue somewhere.
Yeah. And, like, you know what? If they had just used it for the promo and, like, never even put it in the show, probably nobody would have even noticed. No, I don't have
noticed. It was a strong, I thought it was a strong opening just because it was fun for me for a moment to also be daydreaming about.
You're going to hell.
Probably. It's fine. I'll save you a seat.
Oh, God.
So bingo card. I have one other square that I went ahead and checked off, which was Claire screaming Jamie for no reason. Now, that was actually in the previously on, but it was for no reason. So I have two.
I have that square, but I'm not going to count the previously on. So I'm going
to save it.
Play it a little different. Yeah,
that's fine. We could go either way.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's what he said.
All right. So, yeah, bingo cards, listeners, if you are playing along, please share with us so that we can interact with you. We want to see your progress. And if you have something that you're like, I don't know if this counts, go ahead, cross it off and then defend it. Like, just,
yeah,
we're not going to argue with you.
Like, we don't have like an answer key. So like, if you can like bullshit your way into like justifying it, like, or you could just be really badass and be like, I don't have to justify this to you. That's pretty ballsy, and it usually intimidates people. So it probably won't intimidate me though, but
yeah,
it's fine.
Same, but it's like, fine. I wasn't going to argue with you anyway. So like, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I actually have no power here. So, I mean, we have power on the podcast, but like, that is our only domain. Like, we don't even have power beyond, like, into the, you know, we don't even have tentacles into the fandom power. We just, it's just what we say on here right now. Here.
So, speaking of the your FU, my I'm not that lucky hanging sequence, that actually made me think of our my favorite Claire died fixer out there. And I would love... I would love to say there's not a ton and that I didn't write a lot of them, but.
But the exact opposite is true. The
exact opposite is completely true. So Ash, Happy Days, and I actually wrote a fic called The Art of Not Grieving Alone, in which Claire dies or is dead at the beginning of the story. And Jamie goes to John, and it's really weird, but fun. And sad and depressing, but weird and fun. It's an Ash and Pan fic. Like, I don't know what you want from us, but
I've read it. I like it.
That's one of my favorite showcases of our work together. So we'll link that in social media and on the Spotify post. I think those links go over. So we'll do that.
Cool.
Any final thoughts, Beth?
I am just so excited for the next episode. I just can't wait. I don't know. I'm going to lose it when I finally actually see William. I know, obviously, we've been following Charles Vandervaart since they announced him. And, like, mm-hmm. we've seen pictures and footage. But, like, I like to see him actually in the world being William. This is, like, my moment. So I'm really excited. And I have a feeling there's going to be some really good moments in the next episode. So
it's going to be awesome. I'm very, very excited for Charles and for David to be back on the screen. I'm so ready for some more John content.
I'm so ready, and I can't wait to see him interacting with William as a father.
Yes,
because we haven't gotten to see that. We barely even saw it in season 4 because John got sick, and just Jamie got to have his father time with William, which was awesome. But like, to really get to see John, because like, there's so many tidbits in the book about John thinking about like when, you know, William exacerbating him here and there. So yeah, can't wait.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. We are so happy to be back. Thank you for tuning in again. And we will talk to you next Wednesday while we talk about episode 702. So we'll see you out in the social media, I guess, or you won't, because you'll be there in the wild.
No, we'll be in our little cabin in the woods,
our swamp cabin. Thank you. Let's say goodnight, Beth.
Goodnight.
Bye.
If you're listening to this, it means you survived another episode of Lord Johnlander. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter or Tumblr at Lord Johnlander or on our website at lordjohnlander.wordpress.com/contact us. All opinions expressed on the Lord Johnlander podcast belong to us and are not affiliated with Outlander, Sony, Stars, and definitely 100% not with Diana Gabaldon. This podcast is not suitable for children, immature adults, homophobes, anyone who takes fandom seriously, people who don't understand that the characters aren't real, people with sticks up their arse, people who hate fun, and people who have no sense of humor. Do not try any of these hot takes at home. We are professionals. And if you know us in real life, no, you don't.